you're singing for us tonight. We'll enjoy that. Find Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Chapter 5, book of Ecclesiastes. Let me ask you if you're comfortable tonight, cold or hot or good. Good? All right. Amen. That boy, mark it down. Banner day. We're good. It's a blessing. One of the blessings of staying in the same place for a long time is you get to watch little children grow up and be godly young adults. And I went to the hospital for both of these young ladies at their birth. And it's a blessing to hear them sing tonight. Amen.
I woke up this morning and I started my day. God's mercy was with me all of the way. His goodness stayed close by to meet all my needs. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm counting my blessings as I journey along. Good friends, a family, and a place to call home. The church where I worship, the Bible I read. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me. When Satan comes tempting and he brings up my past, I tell him I'm forgiven and it's buried at last. The bloodshed on Calvary now speaks for me. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me.
Yes, that's wonderful. Great song. Thank you. Very good. All right. Let's get the handout to you. Boy, something sounds weird here, Brother Payne. I don't know what that is all of a sudden. So I'll put this away. And it's this one, I guess. It sounded mighty funny tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If you would like a handout, please raise your hand. Maybe you brought a pen to church tonight. I hope so. And fill in the blanks. Make an airplane out of it when you're done. Take it home. Put it in the fireplace. Whatever you do with it, but maybe it'll help you follow along in church a little bit on a tired Wednesday night. You've been working all day, many of you, and just appreciate you being here tonight, being faithful. So many places closing their doors on Wednesday nights, but can't do that here. I'm afraid some of you folks might knock them down. Amen. So, Brother Tom Fitzgerald, we prayed for you tonight, brother, and your family. The passing of your mother, I know you expected it, but it was a little sooner than you thought, And so it's never easy. So Lord bless you, brother. You're welcome, sir. Everybody got one? Brother Tony? You're the last man standing, brother. Oh, up there in front of you. Okay. All right. They're prejudiced about that side of the auditorium. It's the liberal side. It's the East Coast side, amen. So it's the liberal side over there. So let's pray together. Father, we're thankful tonight to be in church. Open our eyes that we might behold wonderful truths from your book. And Lord, more than just taking them in with our eyes, I pray it would sink into our hearts and live out in our lives on a daily basis. Help me tonight. Bless my thoughts. Lord, clarify my mind and speech. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. So tonight's lesson, we're going to go back and revisit the end of chapter 5 where we were 2 weeks ago. And we'll be ready for chapter 6, Lord willing, next week. But there are some truths that I went through kind of quickly at the end of chapter 5 2 weeks ago that I believe are very pertinent for American Christians, and especially as it pertains to the pursuit of material things. And to be honest, maybe this is especially necessary for young couples in the atmosphere that we experience in today's world and the emphasis on the material. And people, it is a constant fight for you and me to be mindful that we are eternal people. Not just temporal. Not material. But the constant pull of this world and the promotion of the temporal will take its toll on us if we're not careful. So I want to go back and revisit some things. Verses 13 through 17 at the end of chapter 5 provide a very vivid description of the danger of living solely for the material things of this world. And by the way, don't forget, the human pen of this book was a man who had more than anybody else ever had. He was so wealthy, and the kingdom of, and listen, the kingdom of Israel, not just Solomon, but the kingdom of Israel itself experiencing such economic boon that silver was counted of nothing. Nothing. You know, they say that Mr. Trump's, re-election hopes are directly tied to the economy. I don't know if that's true. I don't know what to expect. America's economy is booming again. And it's in such a setting that you and I have to be careful that we don't get looped into living for the temporal and the material more than the eternal. So if we're revisiting this tonight, just bear with it, okay? But it's something I think that's very, very real to us, all right? So here's the danger of living solely for the material things of this world from the human pen of the man who presided over the greatest kingdom materially that there ever was, the kingdom of Israel, under his reign, ivory, apes, peacocks, gold. It was abundant. Okay? So they're flourishing. Now, look at verse number 13 where he begins here. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. So number one, it is not just an evil, but a sore evil, a grievous evil, to focus one's attention solely on the accumulation of possessions. Now, there's several blanks to fill in there. It is not just an evil, but a sore evil. That's a word that's in your Bible that was chosen by God there. It's a sore evil, a grievous evil, to focus one's attention solely on the accumulation of possessions. And by the way, people, a person does not even have to accumulate much of anything to have the wrong focus. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is. That's number two on your sheet. Money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money is. 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 10. Let's try that. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It is possible that you can love money without ever having a dime. This lottery. I just tried to catch the news on the foxnews.com. And I don't know that that's even Fox News is the most accurate news that's out there. I know there are some other sources that seem to be a little bit more accurate. But anyway, sometimes those kind of border once in a while on the conspiracy theory thing. And that, some of that may be true. I don't know. I'm not here to talk about that tonight. But they were talking about the people who were buying the lottery tickets were by and large the low-income families, spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on this lottery. You know, we got the idea that the only people who really love money are the ones that have it. That's not always true. Sometimes the ones that have it have the right attitude about it. And people that don't have it love it more than those that do have it. So it doesn't matter if you have an accumulation. I remember years ago I was down in Windsor Hills when Brother Vineyard was pastoring there. And Tom, his son, was still in Ivory Coast as a missionary. And I forget what it was. I forget if it was a youth conference or revival fires or something. But Tom and Melissa and their children were home on furlough, and they were sitting on the front row. And I was a guest speaker there that week, so I was sitting on the front row of this section, kind of right here where the guys are, and Tom and his family sitting over here in this section, front row. And I believe it was his daughter Catherine. I forget where she is in the number of kids, but Catherine, I looked across as the guy was preaching. I just happened to glance across here, and I saw Catherine, and she had her head back. She's just a little girl, and she had her head back like this on the top of the pew, and she had a quarter on each eye. A quarter on each eye. And I got tickled. And, you know, and Tom Vineyard's listening to the preaching, you know, listening to the preaching, just kind of grabs those things off her eyes. And, you know, I thought about that several times because I wonder if that's how some people live. You heard about the little girl whose mother told her at the beginning of the week, said, now, if you do your chores, you get your schoolwork done and you be a good girl, come Saturday, I'm going to give you 2 quarters. One for you to put in the offering on Sunday school, and the other one to go to the candy store and buy your candy. This obviously is some years ago. Back, remember the 5 and 10 cent stores? So the little girl did well all week, obeyed, did good, got her homework done. Come Saturday morning, her mom made good on her promise, gave her 2 quarters, said, now look, one of these is for the Lord tomorrow, and the other one is for you to go to the store and buy you some candy. Man, she took off down the street. She had 1 quarter in each hand. She's skipping along the sidewalk. 1 quarter for me, 1 quarter for the Lord. 1 quarter for the Lord, 1 quarter for me. And skipping along, and she didn't see the crack in the sidewalk, and she tripped, and when she did, bang, she hit the sidewalk. Her hand popped open, the quarter rolled. You've seen it do that. Rolled and clink, 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 and chink, chink, down a storm sewer, down a storm drain. And she went up there and looked down there. And she said, well, Lord, there goes your quarter. sometimes that's how we live. You don't have to have tons of money to love it. So here these people are spending these dollars that they need and chances of, you know, trying to win the lottery. But anyway, now this the evil specifically addressed, when you read here in chapter 5, verses 13 to the end of the chapter, the evil that is specifically addressed here is in regards to those who are blessed with riches. So about 3/4 of you just decided, well, this is not for me then. I'll go to sleep, take a nap. But let me ask some questions tonight. Don't have to answer out loud. Okay, raise your hand. How many of us have a house to live in? How many of us own a house? How many of us have a bed to sleep on in the house? How many have a recliner? How many have enough clothes to wear? All the males say, more than I need. All the females say, not quite, but anyway. How many have hot water? How many have some form of heat and air conditioning? How many of us have enough food to eat? How many of us have a dependable car to drive? How many of us have a cell phone? How many of us have internet service at our house? How many of us have a television? How many of us men have some form of power tools that we enjoy messing around with or making a living with? How many of the women have some things that you allow that allow you to enjoy a hobby? How many of you have a computer? How many have a tablet? And I'm just scratching the surface. So, when measured by material possessions alone, to the rest of the world, how many of us are rich? Amen. Really, I'm not being ugly. I'm just being honest, really. We're blessed with material possessions. So number three, the overwhelming majority of us here tonight are rich if we just consider material possessions alone. I talked about that 2 weeks ago. How did we get all this stuff? And what do we end up doing with this stuff? We just look at it. Look at it. I got a great alternative for you. Rather than just look at it, bring it to Yard Mart. Amen? That'd be a blessing. Seriously, the overwhelming majority of us here tonight are rich if we just consider material possessions alone. So, number four, if we're going to live well, which is the theme of Ecclesiastes, in order to die well, then we are going to have to discipline ourselves to be good stewards of those riches. We must be good stewards of those riches. Did we get all the blanks? Fill in. If we're going to live well, in order to die well, then we are going to have to discipline ourselves to be good stewards of those riches. Which means, first of all, we're going to have to be givers. Verse 13 speaks of the sore or grievous evil of riches kept. Look at the verse. Look at it. I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept. So it's not talking about just having riches. It's talking about having an abundance. Almost like hoarding. Okay? And one of the antonyms for keep or kept is give. So if we're going to be good stewards of these riches that the overwhelming majority of us are rich in, the material possessions alone, we're going to have to be good stewards of those things, and we're going to have a giving spirit and a giving attitude. Number five, selfishness is a trait that will make us guilty of this sore evil of which Solomon is speaking. That's number five. Selfishness is a trait that will make us guilty of this sore evil of which Solomon is speaking. And folks, when you're talking about giving, let's get real simple tonight. What is the, for Christians, for people of God, what is the foundation of giving? The foundation of it. Tithing. Tithing, that's where it begins. One of the blessings of tithing is the good it does for us. God doesn't need our money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The whole earth is His. And the fullness thereof. But we need to be obedient. We need to give God because the benefit is for us. Number six, tithing keeps us mindful of the fact that God has first given to us. And we got to keep this attitude, folks. As our material possessions pile up, we must not forget from whose hand it comes. Number seven, tithing keeps us mindful of the fact that God has first given to us. The very reason I have something to give as a tithe is proof that God has first given to me. Right? If I got 10% to give to God, it's only because He gave me 100%. So I got to keep that in mind. Anytime, number seven, we fail to give the tithe, we are guilty of a sore evil that will bring us hurt. And folks, I can't stress that enough to you. I've said over and over again through the years here that I understand. I have to work with people once in a while who find themselves in such a horrible financial condition that they sit across the table from me and how do they tithe every penny, just about every penny of the weekly income has to be paid out in bills that are owed. And I've done this with a couple of different families. I told them what I would do if I were you. Now, you may disagree with me. You may take a more hardline approach than I do on this. But I don't know how to solve it for them, folks. But I told them this. I say, look, whatever is left, I don't care if it's $5, $10, or $2. Whatever's left, I would tithe off what's left. And when the plate is passed, I would put it in and say, Lord, that's not a tithe, but I'm doing what I can. And God is not a hard taskmaster. He is a merciful God. And what that shows, folks, is your heart. And I actually have seen a couple of families work their way to where they could give the tithe. You've got to start somewhere. Okay. Now, you could go the other direction. You can go the other way. Well, I think they just better get... And maybe it would work. Maybe it would work. I'm not saying it won't work. Just write 10% to the Lord and leave it all with God to provide the money for all the bills. But I don't know. You're going to get hammered by interest. It's just going to... Maybe I'm taking the soft approach. But God has blessed that. Because He's not a hard taskmaster. Now, the best thing is, folks, don't get yourself in that kind of shape. You young couples, just start out right now. Just nail it down. Nail it down. The foundation of giving, this is what he's talking about, is riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt, which means you've got to learn to be a good steward, which means you've got to give. And the foundation of giving begins with tithing, okay? So these verses teach us about the man who keeps riches to his hurt. That's verses 13, 14, 15, 16. I won't go into all of those again tonight like I did a couple weeks ago. Now, 17, let's go down to verse number 18. Here we go. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. So maybe at first glance, you read that and you think, well, man, that's just the opposite of what God just said in verses 13 through 17. But folks, this is about a man with a different perspective. This is about a man who loves God. This man does not love riches. This man loves God. As I pointed out 2 weeks ago, verses 13 through 17 never mention the name God. When you get to verse 18, this man, you see the name God mentioned two or three times, a couple of times in these verses. This is a man with a different perspective. Look, here's what his perspective is. This is so different. Don't miss this. He loves God and enjoys riches. And that's where we need to be. Love God and enjoy riches. I say to us again, God is not against us having things. He's not against your or my having a nice house, a nice vehicle to drive. God does not frown on somebody who gets a promotion and moves up a little bit into a nicer home to live in. I don't think God frowns. As long as we just enjoy it and not love it. Love God and enjoy the riches. This man has a biblical view. It's seen in two phrases in verse number 18. The first phrase is the next to last phrase of verse number 18, which God giveth him. The person number 8, the person who views the material possessions of this life as God wants us to view them, understands that everything he has was given to him by God. I said that a couple of minutes ago. Now, it's a fill in the blank. The person who views the material possessions of this life as God wants us to view them, understands that everything he has was given to him by God. Even those things that he earned by his own labor are a gift from God. Hey, people, every time we receive a paycheck or get your money direct deposited, it's a gift from God. Every time you get a Social Security check or a pension check, it's a gift from God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. This is one of the foundational premier truths to remember about material blessings. It all comes from His wonderful, loving hand. Every bit of it. I got to get that down. See me. Okay. The second thing is where I want to spend a little more time tonight, which is the last phrase in verse number 18, where the Bible says, for it is his portion. We talked 2 weeks ago about, you know, don't be envious of somebody else's portion. And that's one way that the word portion can be used. But the word portion, you know what a portion means. It means a part of something as compared to the whole of something. Somebody brings you a pie, you eat a portion of it, you eat a piece of it. You don't eat the whole pie. Okay? Somebody serves a meal, you don't want it all, you eat a portion of it. Okay? It's a portion. Now, that's what the word portion means. Number 9, it was never meant for us to consume 100% of that which God has given us on ourselves. Never meant. It was never meant for us to consume 100% of that which God has given us on ourselves. Now, it's very important, folks, in this verse right here, to see the way the word all is used. Do you see the word all? It's about in the middle of the verse. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor. It's important for us to see that the word all is referring to his labor, not what comes from his labor. There's a big difference in that. It's a big difference. Number 10, Solomon did not say that it was good and comely for someone to eat and drink and enjoy all that comes from his labor. That's not what he said. That would be us keeping it all for ourselves. What he said, number 11, he said that it was good and comely for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the result of all his labor. There's a difference in the two. I'm not to keep and enjoy, eat and drink and enjoy all that comes from my labor. I am to eat and drink and enjoy the portion that comes from all my labor. There's a big difference in that. Number 12, if I consume all the good that comes from my labor on myself, then I am focused solely on me. That's what he was warning about in verses 13 through 17. That's vanity. That's vanity. That's empty. Nothing there. This is a sore evil, a grievous evil. Riches kept to the owner's hurt. This is what he's talking about. He's not talking, we're not told to keep all the result of our labor. We're told that we can enjoy a portion of all of our labor. There's a big difference in that. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope I'm making myself clear tonight, okay? Number 13, that which I eat and drink and enjoy for myself is just a portion, a part of all my labor. It's my portion. It's a part of it. He says, so what about the remainder of the good that comes from all of my labor? Well, it's for the benefit of others. Now, let that sink in. Let that sink in a minute. It's easy to nod our heads and fill in our blanks and say, okay, yeah, amen. But how many of us live this way? Let me give you some New Testament. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Why is he laboring? To consume it all upon himself? He's laboring so that he can have some to share with somebody else who's in need. Romans 12:13 talks about distributing to the necessity of saints. 1 Timothy 6:18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Now listen, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. If you were here for the last missions emphasis message that I preached, the word communicate in the Bible often refers to the matter of what? Giving and receiving. Philippians 4, it's defined for us right in the Scripture. So Paul tells Timothy, tell him to be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. People, number 14, some of the whole is for my church and my obligations to God. That's the foundation of giving. Amen. Yes, sir, it is. Number 15, some of the whole is for me, my wife, and my children. If you don't care for your own, you're worse than a what? Infidel. Number 16, some of the whole is for the needs of others around me. That's biblical. And many in this church have practiced this over the years. I cannot tell you how much food has been dropped off at our house since last Friday. It's just, it's unbelievable. Our entire island covered with food. Covered. Covered. And people call. And people call. And, just, and, you know, and I know there are other cases Sometimes I walk into my office and there on the floor is an envelope, and I pick up the envelope and it has a person's name on it. And it's somebody in the church that has a need. Somebody in the church is ready to distribute. Have you ever done that? Obviously, you know, you guys are giving people when we take love offerings for speakers and everything. That's wonderful. But you know what, folks? Let the Holy Spirit prompt you and initiate it once in a while. It doesn't always have to come from the pulpit. This is part of why we labor. We don't labor. I'm not doing well when I keep. It doesn't say that I'm supposed to keep to enjoy the result, all the result of my labor. It says I'm supposed to enjoy a portion of all my labor. That's what it says. That envelope story. Grace, do you remember that? Remember that envelope years ago? If you remember that or not, I walked in and here was an envelope on the floor, and a couple of them, and one of the envelopes was for a lady that was here for just a short time. She enrolled her child in school. She was here, and then she was just gone. I mean, she just vanished away. Gonna live, Ira? Okay, amen. Somebody was dying over there. Bless your heart, brother. Mercy. But anyway, I'm not making fun of you. Just tickled me. I thought, what is that noise? I see Brother Scott's just kind of used to it. Yeah, Ira's coughing again. So, oh, mercy. So here's this envelope, and it has the name of this lady, and her mother lived in the area. And I called her mom, and she said, Pastor, she said, did I just tell this recently? I told it somewhere. I told it at Jay Reed's church. That's where it was. And she said, Pastor, she's gone to another state. I don't know where she is. I just know she's safe with some friends, and she's gone to live there. So I had this envelope, and I thought, okay. I was tempted just to keep it. No. Never had been an envelope with my name on it under the door. So I thought, well, I don't know what to do. So I remember I took a magic marker, I think, marked the name out, and I stuck it in my jacket pocket on a Sunday night, walking out of the office. I think it was a Sunday night. And before I opened the door to leave the office, I said, Lord, show me who to give this to. And when I opened the door, Grace McCaslin was the nursery director at that time. She was leaning on that half door there right across from the office. And God said, give it to her. I had prayed, Lord, help me to some poor soul, pitiful person out there. And God said, there she is. So I said, Grace, I don't know what's in here, but God just put it on my heart to give this to you. She didn't say it. She just said, thank you, took it, and came back on Wednesday night. She said, can I tell you a story about the envelope you gave me? I said, yes. She said, I was reading one of the missionary boards out here, and missionary was going to have camp, and it was going to cost $50 per kid, if I'm right on that, $50 per kid. And she's reading the letter, and she's thinking, Lord, I wish I had $150 to send three of those kids to that camp. The Lord said, well, you got it. She said, no, Lord, that's my money. She said, I was squirreling away some money to buy some carpet, just a little at a time, and keep it. And so God said, well, you got some. And she said, no, not that. She said, you ever tried to argue with God? So she said, I went home, I got three $50 bills, I brought it in, gave it to the church office, and told them what it was for. And then just after that, you gave me that envelope. When I got home, guess what was in it? Three $50 bills. Because God gives back what you give to missions. He just does. Now, I don't know why I told that story, but I just thought it sounded good. Amen. So, okay. This is why. Now, feet people, let me meddle just a minute. At myself included. How many of us work for that purpose? How many of us work for us? Let him labor. working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth, because it's a grievous and sore thing for us to keep all. That's the result of our labor. I'm to keep a portion that comes from all my labor. Amen. I know it's not popular, but it's okay. That helps us. Okay, and I'll get to something. We're okay. It's 8 o'clock, 8:01, so we're good. I don't have much more to go here. Now, verses 19 and 20, they kind of repeat this the same truth, maybe even more clearly. Every man also, to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and remember now, you say, well, that's not me. Now, hold on. Compared to 7.2 or whatever it is, 4 billion people, folks, where do you and I rank? Hath given him power to eat thereof, to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. This is the part of the gift of God, is to take a portion of all my labor and have some left that I can share with somebody else. So here's the conclusions we come to. Number 17 on your sheet, riches and wealth in any and all quantities and forms are a gift from God in exchange for our labor. Which, by the way, means we should get up and go to work. Boy, work is such a valuable thing, folks. Work is such a valuable thing. Riches and wealth in any and all quantities and forms are a gift from God in exchange for our labor. Number 18, it is good and right for us to enjoy a portion of those goods by consuming them on ourselves. That's good. That's right. He said that in verse number 18. Okay? Oh, I'm on the wrong chapter, wrong page. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun, for it is his portion, so it's okay. It's good and right for us to enjoy a portion of those goods by consuming them on ourselves. Number 19, it is wrong and evil when we make it the goal of our life to labor and accumulate wealth for the purpose of consuming it solely on ourselves. It is wrong and evil when we make it the goal of our life to labor and accumulate wealth for the purpose of consuming it solely on ourselves. I don't know what's behind all this caravan of people coming up from those South American countries. I think one of the news articles said that Pence said that China and Russia were behind it. Or Venezuela was behind it. And China and Russia are heavily invested in Venezuela. I don't know what's behind all that. But if George Soros' money or some other guy's money is funding all that, they're not helping those people. They're using those people. Just using them. It's wrong and evil. We make it. Now, I was going to have you turn over to Luke chapter 12, but I'm not going to do that. Luke chapter 12 is the man who said, look at this. What am I going to do? I got more than I need. Who can I give it to, right? Oh, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger so I can keep more than I need for myself. And what did Jesus say? Now, the simple truth is, number 20, that God gives to us so that we can give some back to Him. This is so good. Enjoy a portion of it for ourselves and then use the rest to be a blessing to others. Hey, that's Faith Promise Missions. Sure. And other ways. The simple truth is that God gives to us so that we can give some back to Him, enjoy a portion of it for ourselves, and then use the rest to be a blessing to others. The Bible is not teaching us that it's wrong to consume a portion. The Bible is not teaching that it is wrong to save a portion. The Bible is not teaching that it is wrong to invest a portion. That's not what it's teaching. Not what it's teaching. But here it is, verse number 21. The Bible is saying that it is wrong to save and invest when you are not at the same time rich towards God. That's the key. There's nothing wrong with having and saving and investing and consuming a portion on ourselves as long as at the same time we're rich toward God. We give Him what belongs to Him, keep some for ourselves, and to help those who are in need. And that's the way it ought to be. Consume a portion, save a portion, invest a portion, but above all, make sure that we are rich toward God and others with a portion. And by the way, if you want to do it the way God wants you to do it, always give God His portion first. Amen. Now, I know what you're doing. Number 21 is all done. So we're putting our pens away and our papers and putting our papers in our Bible. And it's time to go home. Pastor Angel, we're done. Well, hang with me just 30 seconds, a minute. Folks, this kind of attitude towards material blessings enables us to truly enjoy life and rejoice in our labor. You know, I believe it's God's will for His kids to enjoy life. I am concerned that some Christians don't enjoy life any more than the unsaved enjoy life. And that's sad. That's sad. That's sad. When is the last time you just sincerely thanked the Lord for your life exactly as it is today? You know, I put this lesson together and I'm looking over it this morning and God so convicted me. And I got on my knees and I did just that. Lord, if I'm going to teach this, I'm going to try to live it. And I thank You for my life exactly as it is today. My life has been turned upside down. I'm a person of schedule, a person of habit. Blown to smithereens. I just struggled with it. Just being transparent with you. Just struggled with it. But I got on my knees today and I just thank God for my life exactly as it is today. Lord, I thank You for everything. I thank You for every portion, not just material blessings, not just financial blessings, but the whole thing. I thank You for every portion. I thank You for the good. I thank You for the bad. I thank You for the indifferent of my life. I thank You for everything in my life as it is today. And do you know that I have had a much better day today than I've had in 2 or 3 weeks? That sounds true. That sounds true. God wants us to enjoy our life. But He's not going to just give it to us on a silver platter. Make everything nice and tidy so that we can enjoy it. He says, here it is. Enjoy it. Appreciate it. Thank Me for it. Good, bad, indifferent. Just... I thank You for my life. I honestly believe some of God's people, and I think for a while, I don't think I was enjoying my life any more than the unsaved enjoy their life. That's sad for a child of God. That's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Just a wonderful passage. Love God and enjoy your riches. But don't love your riches. Love God and be thankful for whatever you have. Amen. Let's stand together. It is time to go home. Put your pens away. Make your airplane. I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be spooky. I don't want to be emotional, moody. But I wonder tonight, would you like to join me at the altar and kneel together? And let's just thank the Lord for our life as it is right now. If you'd like to join me down here, then you come. I'm going to kneel behind the pulpit. I'll pray here in just a minute. Now, this means you've got to kind of think about your life. Father, we bow before you tonight with a very thankful heart. It's not always easy, Lord, to appreciate the things that you bring into our lives. But on my knees tonight with these, my brothers and sisters, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for our life as it is right now. There are some things we would change if we could, I suppose. Some things we would add, maybe some things we would delete. But right now, it is what it is. And we just thank you for it. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. We recognize that tonight, O God. In the midst of this material, possession-driven world, help us to love you above any possession. Help us to love you. Thank you for giving us richly so many things to enjoy. So God, tonight we just thank you for our life as it is right now. Help us, Lord, to do what we can in areas where we can to improve as you want us to. But going forward, may we rejoice every day in our life as it is right now. From the good hand of our great God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Now finish playing, you. We can return to our seat. Thank you. Well, God kind of helped us tonight, didn't he? Well, don't miss a service if you can help it. You just never know what direction God's going to take it, how he's going to use it.